Welcome to Osteocast, where we talk all things osteopathy, functional anatomy, and movement. With your hosts, myself, Colby Brokel,
Amanda Boysen,
and Sarah Pucal. Hello, and welcome back to Osteocast, your favorite podcast with myself, Sarah, Amanda, and Colby.
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Hello.
So today we're going to talk about neurological conditions and just the place of an osteopathic manual practitioner when it comes to treatment of said conditions. So we just want to make sure that our place is known as a practitioner and also what we can do for the patient in these cases to help recovery, but also just to improve quality of life and just improve overall a function of what's already working well. So a big thing in osteopathy is we like to find the health in the tissue. So making sure that that tissue is bathed in healthy blood, making sure that there isn't any impingements, any blockages in the pathways, so that there's a nice straight line of fluid flow for the body. So coming back to our fluid dynamics. And as well, just knowing our place and knowing that we're not going to specifically treat a neurological condition, but we're just going to support the overall health and function through the body. And over time, that may improve said condition, but that's not the purpose of our treatment.
That's a great point, Sarah, making sure that we're always looking to find health in the tissue. I think the other important thing to mention is that depending on the situation and depending on the patient and what their health history states, we're always getting clearance from their medical doctor or whatever physician is on their team to make sure that they are cleared for osteopathic treatment before we get started. And I think we've talked about this in other podcasts, about being in constant communication with other practitioners on the patient's team to make sure that we are all working together to help the patient. So maybe we should just define neurological conditions so that our listeners that might not be sure what specifically we're talking about. So a neurological condition would be anything that's a structural or chemical or electrical change within the brain, the spinal cord, or the nerves. So basically on the side of control, I guess, is what we should say. So these can be anything from, but are not limited to, Parkinson's, MS, neuralgia, anything that's kind of affecting how the nerves function or how they work, or how that communication to the nerves is happening from the brain. So it could be some form of paralysis as well.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that just because we're talking about some sort of a neurological lesion pattern with the patient, it doesn't mean that it's a diagnosed problem from the medical field. Sometimes they're undiagnosed, sometimes they have been diagnosed, and sometimes it's simply not big enough of an issue to be diagnosed, but there's some level of symptomology present in the treatment room, whether it's a little bit of lack of function of a digit or a toe, or there's a little bit of a tremor or a shake, but sometimes it's not severe enough to be diagnosed. And our job is looking at the body as a whole unit, as we always do, and as Sarah and Amanda had already said, but taking a look to see what we can do to help the patient find the health in the patient and then treat accordingly so that we can help improve the overall stress and function of the body and therefore help improve some of that neurological condition if it can be.
So when a client comes into your office and maybe they have, like you said, diagnosed or undiagnosed neurological condition, and maybe they don't know it's a neurological condition, but their symptoms kind of lead you in that direction, I guess making sure, one, that they have a medical, they go back to their medical doctor to get that diagnosis or at least get a neurologist on the team. And then two, unless there's any red flags, there's no reason why you can't start the treatment process with them and just start looking at those big picture motions. How are their diaphragms moving? How is the blood flow? Is there any area of the body that isn't getting proper blood flow? Also thinking about those chemical pathways too. So as Amanda mentioned, it's often coming from the powerhouse or the brain, right? Going down the body. So making sure that they actually have good movement through the neck and the upper spine and If we go back to our chart, I love this picture. It was from the University of Kirksville, but it showed the autonomic nervous system and how much it does going out from the spine. Do you guys know what picture I'm talking about?
Is that the one where they dissected all the nerves? Is that the one you're talking about? Okay.
No, that was a full nervous system dissection, not just the autonomics.
There is an autonomic one too. Anyway, okay. So the whole point being that the autonomic nervous system has a huge impact on everything that happens in the body. So going back and looking at what spinal levels impact which nerves will also help just give a roadmap on treatment and what we would maybe consider to start our treatment process at, or what would give us kind of the biggest bang for our buck, depending what is presented by the patient. So are there any specific cases you guys want to mention that you've been working through regarding neurological conditions or just other thoughts you have towards that?
So what I was going to mention or talk about is kind of understanding like why some of these things happen. And obviously there are all kinds of specific symptoms that come with specific diseases and or conditions. But I just wanted to touch on the fact that when you have something going on neurologically, it's either going to be because the nerve is affected itself, which could be some sort of impingement, it could be pressure, it could be a change in the substrate in the area. So whether there's a buildup of waste product and acidity or carbon dioxide or extracellular fluid in an area that can irritate the nerve, or it can be at the ganglion itself, which is more so off of the spine or the spinal cord or the brain. But the important part, when I kind of mentioned through a breakdown a little bit of the area with it, is that the nervous system can be affected locally on a single nerve or a single ganglion, etc. Or it can be, as Sarah was talking about, the autonomics and the overall sum of stress or pressure on the nervous system. And if the nervous system is being demanded too much and it requires too much nervous drive and pressure, then the nervous system will struggle and you'll see either an inhibition or a facilitation of nerves, which means that you're either going to see underactive or overactive, which both have their own implications. Or sometimes you'll see in the case where the nerves are being stressed, so opposed to having too much drive or too little drive, the whole body is under a stress level and the nervous system has trouble keeping up. And sometimes you start to get some faulty actions because of that. So when looking at it osteopathically, you can look at it globally and say, what's going on with the body as a whole? And is the nervous system struggling to do its job, whether it's too much or too little? And then you can also break it down and look at some of those local components once the global side's taken care of and see, is there something going on just in a hand or just in an arm or just in a single nerve, and seeing what you can do to help that. And then osteopathically, when you're looking at that, you can look at clearing that nerve pathway, making sure there's good blood flow to and from, but essentially going through your standard process of osteopathic treatment around the understanding of which area or which function you're having trouble with. So just something to touch on as far as how you'll look at treatment when you're seeing a change in the nervous pressure or nervous drive.
So interesting and very well put. So when you're talking about whether or not it's the nervous system or if it's too much buildup of fluid or if it's a single nerve, is there a process that you go through then, Colby, to break that down or to figure that out? Is it solely based on health history intake paired with your movement assessment, or is there some other factor that comes into play?
I think it's always going to be paired with the health history as well as the assessment that's put forth. Health history is going to be a big one when you're talking about neurological stuff, because what's going to be expressed on the table is only going to be what's present at this current time. And sometimes with patients, they're come into the treatment room and they're extra nervous, or if they're comfortable in the room, they're extra relaxed, and you can't see the whole picture sometimes. So that overall health history and review of those symptoms and their past symptoms is really important to discover what's going on. And sometimes it won't even be something that's marked down or the box that's checked off, and it actually comes through the conversation itself when you're asking about their habits or their exercise or their workplace. And they may mention something about restless leg syndrome, or maybe they'll mention something about how they feel or being tired all the time or all these other things where it's not directly related to a neurological condition. and you take that information and couple it and pair it with the body. And then when you talk about the assessment side of things, like there's some simple things that are easy to notice and other things that require more time and effort and experience. But if you go through and the whole body is hot or sweaty or cold and clammy, or the entire body's having some level of change in color of the skin, those are always key elements to show there's a change in neurological and or blood flow in the body to take a look at. More smaller things is minor tremors. Sometimes the eyes have a little bit of a shake or astigmatism to them. Sometimes people in general are just nervous, which can show that the entire body is facilitated. And you know what I mean when I talk about someone being nervous or just a little bit uncomfortable in general in the treatment room, just because they're a little bit excited and they're overexcited or underexcited. And that just comes with a change in the overall body's ability to handle those levels of nerves or stress. So part of it is the assessment and part of it is the health history, but being able to be aware of a bunch of those markers, whether it's physical markers in terms of how the body's moving or the skin, or if it's more emotional marker in terms of how the patient's actually responding to the questions and how their overall tone is in the treatment room. Another one to take note of that I see often in the treatment room when you see someone with a neurological condition is that their movement patterns are choppy or blocky. They're not smooth movements. You'll see that they're it looks like they're almost resisting themselves, but they don't realize that they're doing it. That's another one to take note of to show that the system is a little bit amplified. So when you see that, that's something to put into your notes and make sure that you're considering.
I think what I like the most about what you just said is like that you're paying attention to the patient from the time they walk into the room till the time you start treating. And that those things are all giving you massive clues for treatment, where to look, how to look, or just understanding your patient a little bit better, even if those aren't the things that they're telling you.
So yeah,
I think that's super important.
And all these factors you've mentioned, Colby, which are incredible to pay attention to, it's also everything Colby mentioned. It's not something you're going to see all in one visit. This is going to most likely take a bit of time, multiple visits, but just something to always pay attention to, like Amanda just said. And the more we can open our eyes and just listen to what the patient says, how they move, what they do, then we'll kind of get a better picture of the full story. And I think that's where notes come into play too, is during or at the end of your visit, just jotting down little things you notice, because it is difficult to remember once you move on to the next patient what the last patient presented for you. So keeping good notes, and that way something you can refer back to for the next time you see them to pick up even more, is key.
Oh, for sure. Now, we talked a little bit about kind of understanding or seeing where those changes in neuro come from or where they're at. Now, when it comes to the treatment process, obviously we're treating osteopathically, but is there any sort of specific things that you guys look at or that you guys pay attention to depending on the patient in front of you? Like, is there any sort of a treatment application, I guess, tips that you guys have with it or commonalities?
I would say the big thing is just seeing how their tissue texture is, and just the overall health of their physiology. So are they a patient that can even handle moving through the range of motion of joints, or, you know, is everything so far gone on their neurological side that we need to kind of get up to the head and focus on that nervous system a little bit more to bring a bit more health and vitality to the body to start going through the full body? And you'll know too when they, you know, you try and pick up a leg, or you're working on assessing the pelvis or the abdomen, and they can't relax on the table, or they stiffen up, or you just find you're not getting a good read on things. I find that's usually a good indicator, just to work somewhere else and then make your way back down when it's appropriate. So that's probably where I would start, is just generally trying to assess how their health, other tissues are doing. And that lets me know how I can start the treatment process, kind of what the most important thing we need to do first is.
I think it will always depend on the patient, but I think finding the way in is the key piece. And that can be completely separate depending on why that neurological condition is there, if it's fluid based or if there's an issue with pressure or tension on the spinal cord, or like Colby was saying. But it always matters to find the way in that works best for that patient. So that might be calming down the nervous system from the head. That might be working on the sacrum. That might be working on their sternum and their rib cage and getting their breathing to work a little bit better. So your assessment should be detailed enough that you're able to rule that out through your assessment to find a spot to start. And then you just really have to pay attention to what's happening under your hands. And are the tissues changing? Are you working on something and it's actually not making a difference? Then you should probably go somewhere else and look somewhere else and try something else. Because there is always a way, an easier way in than trying to hammer on something or trying to push really hard or just, oh, I have to get this to move so they can feel better. If you're thinking in that sort of a mentality, likely you're not doing the best for your patient, because that isn't going to be what they need when they walk out of the room so that their body can better self-heal and self-regulate.
Yeah. And I know, as we talk about assessment and treatment, like, you're going to go through, assess and treat your patient. And there's the entire body functions as one. So whether you're looking at the structure, you're looking at the function. But one thing that I'll take note of here to mention to everybody is that when you're treating a patient on the more structural side of things, and you're trying to make sure that things are moving well, or that you feel things are cleared, so there's a good pathway for the nerve, et cetera, and things aren't changing like you'd like, sometimes it's a good idea to take a little bit of a step back and look at the actual functional systems of the body. And this is all osteopathic in nature, but I know this is something that's helped me in the past, and look at, okay, how is digestion, how is breathing, how is circulation? So instead of saying, how's the body doing, sometimes taking a little bit of a step back if your initial couple treatments isn't making any change, and looking at those systems as a whole and saying, what's going on with the systems? And sometimes that step back gives you the thought process or the look to say, okay, the breathing is a little bit short, or it's a little bit to one side, or it's a little bit too high or too low, or whatever the variation may be. And looking at that function and improving that function may improve the rest of the body, or just taking a little bit of a step back and kind of sectioning off. And not to make it non-osteopathic, but sometimes I think in neuro conditions, especially when they're global or they're all over the body, we get too focused on correcting or helping just that one single thing. Or sometimes you have to take a step back and look at the vitality of the body as a whole, which comes at looking at those functional systems. So sometimes I think it's important just to take that little bit of a step out of the structural world, or step out of, you know, the hand that's shaking or has a tremor, to look at the system as a whole and make sure that you're doing that, especially in these cases.
So important. How many times have you guys been treating patients in the clinic where maybe that's been exactly the case? First couple treatments hasn't worked, or maybe your first couple treatments have worked really well, but the outcome being you're so surprised at how well the body can recover, compensate, and change between visits. Because I know that's happened to me on the table. And like, always, people come back and say, I felt so much better. And you're just like, okay, well, I treated the functional systems of the body. I wasn't treating, you know, I wasn't trying to make their ankle move better or their hip or whatever the case may be. And that's all of a sudden way better. And that wasn't maybe the focus of treatment when you read back through your notes. It was, hey, you know, I got the rib cage moving better, or they weren't able to turn their head and their clavicle was depressed on the one side and those upper ribs weren't working. And we literally cleared that out. And, you know, the rest of their digestion was getting better, or they were eliminating better. Like, it just takes over.
Yeah, the body did the rest of the work. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really the way treatment should be, right? Our goal as osteopathic practitioners isn't to have the patient have to come into the office all the time to get fixed, quote unquote. There shouldn't have to be that reoccurring, you know, every so many days you have to be back in the office for things to be fixed. It's that we set the body in a position, or create space for that body to be in a position where it can do the work itself outside of the office.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I think this is all such a good reminder, right? To don't chase the pain. Cause I think that's just something I know I got caught up in initially leaving school, is you just want to help their ankle feel better, like Amanda was talking about, or help their hip, but kind of taking a step back, it just makes such a difference in actually providing good treatment for the patient.
Especially when you're looking at more complex cases, right? because like we're talking about neurological conditions. So if the person has some paralysis or muscle weakness, or their, you know, their coordination isn't quite working correct, or they've lost some sensation somewhere, or they're whatever the case may be, you will get lost in trying to chase that and make that better if you don't have some sort of a plan in terms of what you're looking at and what your goals of functionality are for that patient. Because the goal shouldn't be to make that pain go away, or, you know, make that coordination be better, or the muscle weakness. It needs to be that the body is healthy and has vitality. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it just makes so much more sense.
Yeah, for sure. Always. But it's tricky sometimes to change that perspective in the treatment room. Obviously, as you have more time and experience in the game, then that perspective just becomes how you always treat. But it's difficult to take that step back and do that sometimes for some people. So it's always important to mention that. I think that is a good touch on neural conditions, and definitely taking a step back and looking at the body as a whole, but also making sure you're aware of the changes in the body, especially in your assessment and conversation, really having a good understanding of what you're looking at and not just looking at the structural side for asymmetries and whatnot. But we appreciate that you guys listened today, and hopefully we gave you guys some information that helps you in the treatment room and helps you with patients in the future. If you have any questions for us, give us a shout on Instagram. Otherwise, thank you guys for listening today, and we will chat with you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.